Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
We have been talking about being led by the Spirit, and there's some other things I'd like to tell you about that, and hopefully we can get into it today. I want to talk about being empowered by His presence. How many of you want to be more empowered by His presence? Just let me see your hand. All right, you're at the right place, and I'll raise my hand with that as well. I want you to go to Philippians chapter 2. you know, this world without the Lord in it is not too good. And since Adam fell in the garden, Adam and Eve fell in the garden, it's not been too great. Even God, you know, made the law to, because they didn't want to talk with God directly. They wanted God to talk to Moses and Moses to talk to them, because they didn't want to have that personal relationship with the Lord God. And see, that never stopped the Lord from wanting that with them. And he still wants that with you and I today. He wants us to be able to commune with Him, to talk with Him, and as He talks with us. But when man fell, sin entered the world through the first Adam, and the second Adam had to come along, which is Jesus. And He had to come to make everything right, even though the world is still sin in the world. But He wanted to make sure that those who wanted to commune with Him and be with Him could do that through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And in Philippians, you see this. Philippians 2 says this in verse. Now I'm going to be reading out of a New Living Translation this time. And verse 5, it says, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had." Man, that's a good message right there. If our attitude was the same attitude that Jesus had about things. He said, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had." Verse 6, "Though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to." Though He was God, He did not think that being equal with God was something that He would cling to. And it wasn't about who He was, it's about the privileges that He had. Instead, He emptied Himself. This is Jesus. He emptied Himself and gave it up, laid it down, His divine privileges. In other words, all the powers that He had as God, He sort of folded that up, set it aside, not to use those during this time. And the reason for that, because He was 100% man, and He's 100% God, but He never used the privileges that He had as God. He laid those, emptied Himself of that, and laid it aside, all His divine privileges, and He took on the form of a human slave and was born as a human being. That's when He was Son of Man. And when He appeared in human form, He humbled Himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated Him to a place of higher honor and gave Him the name above all other names. Then He goes on, He says, "Work hard to show the results of your salvation." Work hard to show the results. Work out your own salvation. Work hard to show the results of you being born again. See, if we being born again, there should be some kind of results being seen by others that we belong to Him. And if that isn't happening in your life, this message is for you as well as for all of us. Work hard for the results. Show the results of salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Then He says this in verse 13, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him." God is already working inside you to be able to desire and to do His good will, what pleases Him. And he gives you the power to do that. Verse 14. After he says, do what pleases him, he says, do everything without complaining and arguing. How many of you are in the right place today? Okay. If you didn't raise your hand, we'll have another altar call in a minute. But I'm not saying you do it all the time, but sometimes we fall prey to that. He said, do everything, not something. He said, do everything without complaining and without arguing. So that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights. Shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Hold firmly to the word of life. I want to show a video at this point. So you guys, do you have that ready? And dim the lights as well.
If you were to die tonight and you were getting entry into heaven, what would you say? If you answer that, and if I answer it in the first person, we've immediately gone wrong. Because I believed, because I have faith, because I am this, because I am continuing. Loved ones, the only proper answer is in the third person, because he. And think about the thief on the cross. And what an immense, I can't wait to find that fellow one day to ask him, how did that shake out for you? Because you were cussing the guy out with your friend. You've never been in a Bible study. You never got baptized. You didn't know a thing about church membership. And yet you made it. You made it. How did you make it? That's what the angel must have said. You know, like, what are you doing here? Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, because I don't know. Well, you know, excuse me, let me get my supervisor. They go get the supervisor in. So, we're just a few questions for you. First of all, are you clear on the doctrine of justification by faith? The guy said, I never heard of it in my life. And what about, let's just go to the doctrine of Scripture immediately. This guy's just staring. And eventually, in frustration, he says, on what basis are you here? And he said, the man on the middle cross said, I can come. Now, that is the only answer. That is the only answer.
You can say it. Wow. The thief on the cross. I love the way he presented that. I really do. So, why are you here? I don't know. Because he just died. Because the Lord told him, he said, this day you shall be with me in paradise. So why can you be here? What was his answer? The man on the middle cross said, I can come. Hold firm. That's that last part. Hold firm to the word of life. Hold firm. So Jesus emptied himself, became a man just like us, 100% man, though he is 100% God, but he laid aside his privileges not to be using the privileges of God. Because he needed to be 100% man going through the same things that we go through. But what made the difference with him, that can make the difference with us, is that he had the Holy Spirit come upon him. God opened the heavens at his baptism, and God sent the Holy Spirit upon Jesus That started his ministry. That started his miracles. He was empowered. Because on his own, as a man, and he laid aside all the other benefits, but he never stopped being God. So he was an example of a man or woman being under the influence, being empowered by the Holy Spirit in a world that we live in. And they said that it's a crooked and perverse world. That's what we just read. It's a crooked and perverse world. But yet we can live in this crooked and perverse world, making a difference when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because whatever situation we go through, whatever thing, whatever we face, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit helps us go through that, navigate through that, to make a difference at that moment. How was Jesus and the Holy Spirit working together? You see, the Holy Spirit predicted Jesus is coming through the prophets. You remember that? Through Isaiah and some of the other prophets, they prophesied that he was coming. And by the way, let me say this. In that day, if you led people as a prophet, if you led people to another God, they stoned you. Not because they missed it. See, all the people in Isaiah's day would think that Isaiah missed it because they didn't see Jesus come during their lifetime. It was hundreds of years later. Which should help us understand that when a prophet today doesn't get something right, you don't criticize him and put him down. You hearing me? Why? He just missed it. And you do the same thing with pastors when they miss it. Evangelists when they miss it. Teachers when they miss it. Members of churches when they miss it. See, we're not perfect yet, but we're being perfected. But anyway, they predicted Jesus was coming. The Holy Spirit was involved in the conception and birth of Jesus. The Holy Spirit was involved with Jesus' baptism. Jesus was empowered with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit rested and remained, rested and remained upon him. When that doesn't mean the physical dove rested upon him, but it meant that the Holy Spirit rested upon him, remained upon him. So how important is this? Extremely important. It was a continuation. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. It said he was at baptism, and he's full of the Holy Spirit, and he's led by the Spirit of God into a dry and desolate place to go without food for 40 days. He was full of the Holy Spirit, leading him that way. Have you ever been into a desert? I'm talking to the wrong crowd today. It's like nobody... I'm not talking about a faith. I've been to Arizona, by the way, so I know. But have you been into a desert in your own life? Have you ever? Now wave at me if you've been. You know what the desert is. You know it's a dry, desolate place. But he went there, led there by the Spirit of God. So you and I have probably been led by the Spirit of God to a dry place. To a place you don't understand. To a place that may be lonely. Or has been lonely before. See, the Spirit will lead you there in order to bring a testing. Because that's what he went for, to be tested. By the way, he was tested to see if he was going to own up to being the Son of God. Because that's what the enemy said. If you are the Son of God. If you are. And that's what he says to us. If you really are a Christian, if you are one of his children, then do this and this and this. So his test was his identity. So we go, still go. He was full of the Holy Spirit when he went into the desert. He was led to the, by the Holy Spirit into the desert. He was led by the Holy Spirit while he was in the wilderness. He returned in the power of the Spirit. So he went through the 40 days, no food, no drink. He's at some of his weakest times in his life at that point. But he comes through this with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit went with him. The Holy Spirit filled him. He was full of him. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned in power. Very important, right? Returned in power. What else about the Holy Spirit? He declared the fulfillment of his empowerment. And this is how he did that. In Luke 4, he went to the synagogue after all of that, being in the desert and coming out. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up and read. And he was handed the book, the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, and he found the place where it was written. And here's what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to those in captivity, to recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. He goes on and said in verse 19, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, which is grace. He's talking about grace accepted. But anyway, then he says in verse 20, right after that, he said, then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all were in the synagogue were fixed on him. See, he read not in the sequence that it was supposed to be read. He read about that moment in his life that he was speaking of at the moment. That's the reason they're all looking at him. And then with them looking at him, he says, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now, that really upset them. But see, he proclaimed because he knew the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The Spirit of the Lord. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. The Spirit of the Lord, that is all authority and all power. What he's saying is, I have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. With authority and power, I've been empowered by the Holy Spirit because he is upon me. He's talking about what just happened previous, before the 40 days in the wilderness. Being empowered. Then he says, and he has anointed me. See, this word anointed means to smear, to cover, to lather over, to cover him completely with his presence, with the Holy Spirit's presence, the anointed. It also means to be commissioned and employed. He was commissioned by God, and God sent the Holy Spirit to employ him because he is the master. So he was there only to do what the master said do. And to say what the master said. And that came about because he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read the rest of it in that passage. It says, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, which is grace, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort those who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, beauty instead of ashes. See, he's continuing on about how the Spirit of God is going to work on him to do things for other people. The Spirit's in me for me. He's upon me for others. The Spirit's in you for you. He's upon you for other people. That's when his miracle started. That's when they were upon him. He said, okay, and to give beauty instead of ashes. See, when you see people going through and there's tragedy in their life, what are we supposed to give them? Man, I hate it. No. You're supposed to give them something beautiful from God. A word from God. An encouragement from God. Something that will crown them with a garland that will bring them hope. Not to put them down, or even not to try to figure out and say, well, if you hadn't have done this and this and this and this, you wouldn't be going through that right now. Nobody wants to hear that. That's not what giving them beauty for ashes when everything seems to be gone. The oil of gladness, I'm to grant them the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Joy, the oil of joy. Are you a joy to be around? Don't be doing this. You need to hear this. See, he said to have joy and to bring joy to other people. Oil of gladness. Do they run to you when you start showing up, or they say, whoops? The oil of gladness instead of mourning. The mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting. The mantle of praise, what is that? To be able to give someone the mantle of praise, the ability to praise, something to give praise for. See, a mantle is not a fireplace mantle. It's a cloth. It's a robe-like thing that they put over you. A mantle of praise. Give them something that they can carry. That they can praise God for. Praise God in. A mantle of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness, fainting, depression. Who needs a mantle of praise? Those that are in depression. Those that are down. Those that are struggling of being up. Instead, I'm just down. I'm just going through a heavy, heavy time. See, a mantle of praise fixes that. And when that's done, you will be called, they will call you oaks of righteousness. You're an oak. An oak of righteousness. See, it's just not an oak that you've grown a lot. No, it's an oak of what? Righteousness. That you will be called oaks of righteousness when the Spirit of God is upon you, empowered you, and you're following the Spirit of God in that. Because we grow more as we are under the influence of who He is and under the power of who He is. And then you'll also be called the planting of the Lord. Let's say the word planting. See, it doesn't mean, see, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. See, the thing here is like, you know, a planting is not when you put it in a pot. Y'all know what I mean? In other words, if you're just potted here, when you don't like something, you just pick yourself up and go. If something didn't go your way, you can just pick yourself up and trot on off. Are y'all hearing me? But he said the planting of the Lord, something that has been planted, settled, rooted. And he said this brings glory to him. Now, naturally, you need to know where you're planted. You need to know the people that are feeding you. You need to know the people in leadership, and you need to know where we're headed. And y'all all should know where we're headed. If you hadn't caught that yet, it is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ in all that we do. We can have all the programs, all the lights. We can have all the stuff. But if we're not being shaped into the image of Jesus, we've lost our mission. We've not connected with the mission of God in our life. Because that's his purpose for our lives, to become like his son. When? On Sunday? No, every day. Every moment of every day. So, planting of the Lord. Let's go back to this thing because I got some other things to cover. His public ministry was accomplished through the Spirit's power. Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit with fire. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire. The Holy Spirit baptizes you in the body of Christ at your new birth. When you're born again, the Spirit of God baptizes you. Now, water baptism is a following of the Lord of obedience. But spiritually speaking, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes in you. You are born of the Spirit. Born again of the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit baptizes you into the life of Christ, into the body of Christ. Jesus then baptizes you with the power of the Holy Spirit. Everybody okay? Okay. Mark 8:1, John said, I baptize you with water, but he, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus baptized you and I with the Holy Spirit, with empower. He empowers us with the Holy Spirit. But we're baptized by the Spirit into the body. Y'all okay so far? Okay. The Spirit even empowered Jesus to teach. Let me give you scripture. Acts 1:1-2. I've got scripture for all these, by the way. But he empowered Jesus to teach. By the way, you know, somebody asked me, said, do you get nervous when you stand up to teach? I said, every time. I got butterflies in my stomach every time. Why is that? Because if he don't show up, y'all are in trouble. You understand what I'm saying? I'm praying. I'm saying, God, just use me any way you want to use me, but I want you to get the glory. Whatever that is, I want, whatever that looks like today, I want you to get it. I usually tell them, I said, I'm yours and you're mine, and this is your time. I've studied, but this is your time. So, he empowers us to teach. Have you ever heard anybody talking without the Spirit of God? It sort of sticks out like a sore thumb. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Jesus was appointed the Son of God and power according to the Spirit. According to the Spirit. Let me go on. I got Jesus drove out demons by the Spirit. Without the Spirit of God, he wouldn't drive out demons. Oh, y'all hearing me? Jesus, through the eternal Holy Spirit, offered himself up. He gave his life. He offered himself. No man took it. He laid it down. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit to go through that difficulty to make the difference for you and me. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus, see, Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. That's Romans 8:11. 1 Corinthians 12 says, by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. By the Spirit of God we were baptized into his body. Romans 6 says this, do you not know that you have been baptized? When you have been baptized into Jesus Christ, you have been baptized into his death. When you and I become born again, we're baptized into his life, but we've already been baptized in his death. When he died, we died. When he died, we died. Mark 1:8. I baptize with water, John said. He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, John baptized, this is words of Jesus. Acts 1:5 says, John baptized with water. This is Jesus talking. John baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now, which is 10 days. He'd already been resurrected for 40, but another 10 days. By the way, he told over 500 to stay. But only 120 showed up. But look what happened to that 120. And then Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power. When this baptism happens, you shall receive power. Everybody say the word power. So you will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. You will receive power. Very important. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, not in you, but upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. That word witness means martyrs. In other words, you'll be empowered that if you have to give up your life for me, you'll do it. That's exactly what Jesus did. He gave up his life. He laid it down, empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. He said, and you'll be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the remote places of the earth. This thing about baptism has two things, has two applications in baptism, the word baptism. One is it means to immerse. This is about in water. It means to immerse, submerge, and to overwhelm. But in a spiritual application of the Spirit of God, water baptism is us following him. Following Jesus into the baptismal pool, because we're saying, I'm making a declaration today. He's mine, and I'm his, and my life is his. But it also means, in this immersion, it also means to pronounce, to declare, not guilty. It means to pardon. It means to be released from blame, to be released from sin, to be released from punishment. Obligation and responsibility. I got amen for that. Amen. But see, the baptism has a second application. And this second application is prepositional. It means to govern, to empower. This is what Jesus is doing. To govern, to empower. For purpose and result. See, God empowered Jesus. by letting the Holy Spirit, giving him the Holy Spirit to rest and remain upon him. I hope I'm not boring you. I really do. I hope I'm not boring you. So why is all this important? Sort of setting the stage, why is all of this important to us? One reason is because if we don't believe it, we won't live it. If we don't believe that we're empowered, we won't actually live in power. So we've got to be able to believe it, receive it, you hear me, and then act upon what we've received. See, in these things with this word of baptism, in that language, it's three things in that language when he talks about baptism by the Spirit, baptism by Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's three things in their language. Number one, it's an outside force that is acting upon the subject. It's an outside force acting upon. Jesus is baptizing us in the power of the Holy Spirit, outside to the subject. Number two, it is continual. Your empowerment is continual. You're not going to walk upon a moment that you're not going to be empowered to follow him and to do what he wants us to do, say what he wants us to say. But here's a third one. The third point in that language means that the subject must participate with what he's been given. The subject must participate with what he's been given. See, we can participate by receiving the power that he's already given. You will not pursue what you do not believe. So if you do not believe that you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, then you won't pursue living that way. See, we've been talked out of it because there's been so much pushback from different organizations, pushback about the Spirit of God because they can't control him. So they'll try to move out the gifts, move out all of this other stuff. We don't want any of that today. That pushback, and we've drank of that, and somehow it's impacted us in such a way that we don't much believe it anymore either. And we won't pursue it because we don't believe it. So, why is it important? Because Jesus has said this. John 17:18 says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. How was he sent? Empowered. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. See, being born again of the Spirit of God, he has sent you. The way the Father sent him. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, guess what? You won't pursue that. You won't walk in that if you don't believe it. But that's Jesus' words. He said this in 17:22, John 17:22, and the glory which thou hast given me, the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to you. What is his glory? The glory is his character. It's found in Exodus chapter 33. Moses says, I pray that you show me your glory. And he goes on, he said, I will make myself known to you. You'll see my goodness. I'll show you how my name is proclaimed. I'll be gracious to you. I'll show you my graciousness. I'll show you my compassion. In 33:6, it says, and the Lord passed in front of him, because he covered him, because not supposed to see his face. And he said, I am compassionate, I'm gracious, I'm slow to anger, I'm abounding in loving kindness, and I'm abounding in truth. And my loving kindness goes to thousands of generations. I am the one who forgives iniquities. I am the one who forgives transgression. I am the one that forgives sin. Moses asked to see his glory. What did he show him? His nature, his character. That's his glory. Jesus said, the same glory that you have given me, I have given to them. You have all of God's goodness, all of God's mercy, all of God's inside you, in your spirit. But when we follow the soul that is mind, will, and emotion, that is untransformed to line up with God's thinking, we won't live that way. Transformation is how we live that way. God has sent you just as Jesus has sent you, just like God sent him. He's given you his glory. He's given you his character. You already have his nature. You are a new creation, a new creature. You have a new nature inside you, and it's his glory. John 17:8 says this, the words that thou hast given to me, I have given to them. See, what Father told him, listen to this, what Father told his son, Jesus, what to say. When he told him what to say, Jesus said it. See, but if we're not listening, we won't even know what the Father's telling us if we don't listen. Well, I don't believe he talks today. Well, I don't guess you'll get to hear him. Unless you get knocked off a horse one day. And all of a sudden it's, oh. He gave us the word, John 17:25. He said, the world didn't know you, but I've known you, and I have let these that you know you. He knew the Father, and he said, you know the Father because you've seen me. Then he goes on and says, I made your name known. Now they know your name. I've loved them the way you love me. Now they know your love and they have your love. Do you hear this? As he has been sent, that is the same way he's sending us. Same way that he's sending us. 1 John 4 says this, we're being perfected in love. Love is perfecting with us, perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, say that, because as he is, so also are we in the world. As he is, so also are we in this world. Why is that? He sent us with everything that he had from heaven. He's given it to you and I the same way. As he is, so also are we in this world. If we don't believe that, we won't act on it. So, in closing, and some of you are saying, really? In closing, here's the questions. Where do you see yourself today when it comes to making a difference out there? Where do you see yourself today? Do you see yourself empowered by the Holy Spirit, because Jesus has baptized you with the Holy Spirit? Or do you see yourself intimidated, weak, fearful, ashamed? That's not how Jesus was. Jesus sent us with everything from heaven inside us. How do you see yourself? If you don't believe that the power is available, you won't operate in it. We've got to believe it's available. We've got to believe that He has already baptized us with the Holy Spirit's power. We're empowered by His presence on us. We already have Him in us. But now we'll be able to do things for other people that maybe hate us, maybe don't like us, maybe can't stand us. But we will be empowered to love them, to bless them, to help them. Can't do that without the Holy Spirit, without the power of the Holy Spirit. So we need to believe. We need to say, yes, Lord, that's what I want. I want that activated in my life. So how do we know that we can operate in the fullness of His power? How do we know that we can operate empowered by Him? How do we know that we can do this? How do we know that we can live this way? How do we know that we can live in the fullness of His power? You know the answer? You remember the video? How do we know? Because the man on the middle cross said, I could. Okay, stand to your feet. If you've been touched by God with this message, and you realize that you need to be more active and more connected to the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and you want that to change today. You want to be more knowledgeable of it, and you want to acknowledge it. You want to do that every day, and you want to believe that with all your heart, and you want to pursue that kind of life from this moment on. I just want you to just raise both hands in an act of surrender, and just leave them up. We sang a song, keep them up. That's surrender. We surrender to His presence. Lord, you see all these hands, and Lord, this is not for show. This is not for man. This is for you. We want to be used of you in a way that we're not intimidated, not ashamed, not fearful. We sang a song today that said, the same resurrection power that raised Him from the dead lives in me. And now we recognize that Jesus Himself has baptized me with the power of the Holy Spirit to be Jesus' witnesses wherever we go. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? So how do you know that you can do this? Because the man on the middle cross said you could. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. God bless you. God bless you. If someone needs to accept Christ today, Brother Doug and Miss Vicky, if you'll come down. If somebody says, listen, I want all that, but I know that I'm not born again, and I want to be born again today. If you guys would just come up. If that's you, as we dismiss, I want you to come up to this couple. They'll come right here. Okay. You too, Vicky. If you need Jesus in your life, as we dismiss, you come up here. All right? And they'll lead you to a knowing knowledge of being born again. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Say, think about it.
Think about it.
All right, you're dismissed.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.